All right, everybody, here we are for another episode. And today we're going to talk about money. We're going to talk about loans. We're going to talk about interest rates. We're going to talk about financing with an amazing hard money lender. And what are your titles, Ken? What do you call yourself?
Well, let's see. I'm a broker.
Yes.
I am a real estate agent. I'm a loan officer. I'm an entrepreneur.
Yes.
I'm a landlord. I'm a property owner.
Yes. A lot of properties.
Yeah. Not as many as others, but enough.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay, great. Yeah. Excellent. And I would consider a pretty much an expert to a lot of degrees in terms of what the hell is all this financing and these interest rates and how it's affecting everyday people and business and acquiring houses and all that funny stuff.
Yeah, when it comes to private financing, I would say I'm an expert.
Yes.
When it comes to bank financing, I would say I know enough to understand what's going on. Wouldn't call myself an expert, but I've met a lot of other...
More than the average Joe.
Yeah, I've met a lot of other loan officers, and the level of understanding of interest rates and what's going on is surprisingly low, you know, even within the industry. So,
Cool. Good. So, guys, Ken Walker from Pacific Direct Mortgage. Okay. If you're, and you are authorized and your company's authorized in the West Coast, mostly California, or where can you guys do loans?
So, we primarily do California. We've done Hawaii. We can do Texas. There's about 20 states that we're able to do loans in. Primarily business purpose investment properties, but we can do owner occupied in California, some in Hawaii.
You know. Okay, sweet. Yeah. So anyway, that's the general business. And I had questions really about interest rate. This thing is for me, it's very just confusing in general because you have the Fed. And again, we were just having this conversation. I said, hey, let's go on air because I'm going to ask these questions anyway. So, okay. There's the Fed. I don't know what the hell the Fed does, to be honest. And it's like there's a chairperson in this and then and the controversy in this and they do headlines and blah, whatever. And I don't understand it. And I guess my main question is, what is that interest rate? Who does it get paid to? Does the Fed actually charge interest rates themselves? Because you're paying the bank. How much does the bank make? Gosh, so many questions. But maybe just start like in the basics of what is that Fed? What is their interest rate and what do they do?
Okay. So Fed set the interest rate that they loan money to banks at. So a Fed will, like the Feds, you know, they're charging somewhere around 4.5-5%. Banks borrow that
money. Is that what they're charging right now?
Somewhere around there.
And that's called the federal interest rate. Is that like the name? Or there's other names?
There's a number of different names. But yeah, basically, the Fed rate.
The Fed rate.
So right now... Right now, the average interest rate through bank financing is 6.8. So if you weren't to get a mortgage, the average rate that you'll get is 6.8.
Yep.
And Feds are usually anywhere from 0.5 point to 1.5 points below that.
Okay. So 4.5 or maybe even 5 in this case, potentially.
Yeah.
Okay. And can you look that up? Can you just check what's the Fed rate right now, or is that not a...
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's say you have this Fed rate. And how does a bank then borrow money? So the bank has to pay. So they're charging 6.8 or whatever. And that's not their money. It's the Fed's money. Well, I thought it was like the depositor's money.
So it's even more complicated than that.
Okay.
So the Feds generally lend to larger institutions like Fannie Mae.
Okay.
Freddie Mac, VA, FHA, you know, the larger institutions. Banks then... What banks do is they borrow, not always, but they borrow from warehouse lines.
The hell is that?
So this is another type of financing that comes from the capital market.
Capital market. That's what, like, that's like stock market?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Like, you know, the guys who got the big bucks.
Yeah, yeah.
So they will lend, like, similar to like a line of credit, like if you get a HELOC on your house, but these are massive lines of credit for mortgage companies and banks. So a bank, you'll go to your favorite bank and you'll apply for a loan. You get approved and let's say you close on your loan and you get your loan at 6.8%.
Yep. Let's say it's a Navy Federal Credit Union.
Perfect. Okay. All right. So then the Navy Federal Credit Union will have a giant line of credit called a warehouse line, and they borrow on that. Usually that's going to be around 4.5-5%.
And that's not borrowing from the Fed. That's borrowing from a warehouse line. Now, the warehouse line, they got it. And who gave them that line?
The capital market.
Capital market. So so which capital market? Isn't there like multiple than more than one?
It's people who are bazillionaires.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but individuals or companies? Companies.
Companies.
That's not Fannie Mae. That's something.
No.
Else.
Yeah. So this is in between. So these are like a stopgap. Okay. So the bank is.
So is there
borrow...
like a person? Is there any famous one? And like you say, like, hey, this is a, I don't know, Zuckerberg lends out or something, or like, do you know, like, who gives out the warehouse lines? Any idea?
Let's see, warehouse line. I'll tell you here. Well.
They're probably gonna get like lines of credit for like warehousing.
Yeah. here's one. Finley Commercial Warehouse Line.
Okay. So that's a company. They have money from somewhere.
Yeah, they have money from capital investors.
Okay.
So like stock market.
Okay,
Wall
so maybe
Street
there's
type
a
stuff.
Let's say there's a that fine, there's a stock, there's a company, and somehow of a family venture capital firm or something, family office, they have, I don't know, $200 million, or they have, I don't know, $3 billion or something. They have $10 billion. Let's say they have $10 billion.
Yeah.
And they go, okay, neighbor federal credit union, I'll let you have, you could borrow $2 billion on my loan.
Exactly.
Or whatever.
So then they use it as you close a loan.
Yep.
And they have to have a high volume.
Yep.
Because they are usually, they only have or allowed to have that loan for like 3 to 5 days. Super short.
Oh, really?
Super short.
Oh.
So,
oh, wow.
So the banks, they close your loan, they close his loan, they close hers loan, they close all these different loans. And when they have about $100 million worth of loans, they then package it and sell it to Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and then repay their line of credit. So it's real short term.
Oh, hold on. Hold on. Whoa, 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 whoa. So the bank actually, the bank doesn't have any money out, really. They pay it, they sell off the stuff.
They have multiple means of doing it, but this is probably their primary way.
Okay.
They do have in-house lending or portfolio lending, which is their own funds. And then they'll keep those, or as they need to, you know, reimburse, or as they need to build up their own capital, then they'll sell them.
Okay.
But portfolio lending is primarily their own lending.
Oh, but that's not the primary.
No.
So the primary is that they're literally using this warehouse money. And they probably have to pay quite an amount because it's only 3-4 days. Like, it's going to be per day interest rate probably very high.
No, it's not that high. So if it's a 6.8 is what the bank is giving, the warehouse line is going to be maybe 4.5-5%.
Really? Okay. So it's like they're not making a lot of margin.
Making a lot of margin. They do have their fees and upfront costs to set up the line.
Okay.
You know, so there are fees involved, and they get their fees, and then they get their interest rate on millions of loans just for a few days at a time, and they're coming and going.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say that's a XYZ company. They're doing that warehouse lending. All right. So now we go to the bank. I have my loan with Navy Federal Credit Union. So they're going to say, okay, here you go. I'll pay it. Okay. You go to escrow, or you go to whatever. You go pay the seller.
Yeah.
So Navy takes the warehouse line, sends the money to the seller. They have a lien on the house. And then what happens?
So then they package up your loan along with hundreds and thousands of other loans that are all happening at the same time. And when they have about $100 million worth of loans, they package them and sell them to Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, VA, you know, the big guys.
And why those guys? That's just the ones who have the most money? Or those are the ones who borrow directly from the Fed?
Correct. They borrow from the Feds. They're the largest institutions for mortgages.
Okay, so they'll package it and sell it.
And they're the ones who set all the rules. So when you go to a bank and the bank says, do you have these qualifications? These are the rules that Fannie and Freddie
gave set to them. Yeah. Oh, because eventually they're the one who's going to hold the debt.
Right.
I mean, they're going to hold it, and they need to know whatever they set it. But isn't it different from bank to bank?
Some banks will add regulations or add qualifications, but they're all going to have the basic Fannie Freddie regulations.
And then why do they do that? Because they sell the loan, but now it's not their money. So if you default, then why does the bank add more regulations? Because then you have like a default percentage or something, or like why does it matter? Because they've sold the debt now.
I I don't know the inner workings on that, but I do know that some contracts require buyback clauses. So if, like, if a mortgage goes bad within 3 months, then some institutions are required to buy it back. So they want to make sure that that's not going to happen.
Okay. So, like, some extreme cases.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, what happened to me, I took a loan, an SBA loan.
Okay.
From an institution called Pilot Bank. And they've been sold now to Lake Michigan Credit Union. Okay, whatever. So, Pilot, it was cool. So, okay. we basically said, hey, we want this loan. And they gave us a loan, SBA loan. And at the time, it was good. It was maybe 6.5%, 7%. When the interest rate was low.
Rates were good, yeah.
And they said that they grab it, they take it, and I guess this is what's happening. They pay the money, I got dispersed, whatever, and then they sold that, like what you're talking about. They got rid of that money, or they did something with it, and like, I still owe them, but they're just collecting on behalf of someone else or something.
So
like
that's
that?
Just a, that. So that's a different field.
Okay.
That's just the servicing of the loan.
Okay.
So the servicer is the one who collects your monthly payment.
Yep.
And disperses it to the lenders, whoever the lender is.
Mm.
So what you're seeing is your lender, or is your servicer. So when you make your monthly payment, you're paying your servicer.
Yep.
And now who holds the note behind that? It could be the original bank. It could be a warehouse line. It could be Fannie Freddie. It could be some other bank that bought these banks, you know, the assets from this bank.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to see all that stuff that's going on
in
the background.
You just see the servicing person. Yeah. That's all you see.
Yeah.
But really, yeah, because the guy said, yeah, I'll take this. And I think I was talking to me like I was a banker. He was like, oh, I'm taking this loan and this and blah. And like in 5 days, we flip it and this, and we make these points or whatever. And I'm like, okay. And then they're not responsible because SBA and the government, whatever.
Yeah.
So I figured, like, why don't they do more of these loans? We got into this whole complex thing. However, can you find out who the, like, holder of the note and all that stuff it is? Like, if you wanted to? Like, hey, I want to know who the hell holds, who I actually owe money to.
Yeah. Yeah. You ask your servicer.
You just ask them.
Yeah.
Okay. It's pretty simple. Now, good. So, let's say you did the mortgage. Okay. They got the warehouse line.
Mm-hmm.
Then they sold that to Fannie and Freddie.
Yeah.
Do you know how that works in terms of like percentages and fees and or what they make, anything of that nature?
No, I don't.
Okay, fine. So right now the mortgage you said is an average of like 6.8, right? That was from online.
As of today, yeah. 6.8.
And that's for traditional people who qualify for loans.
Yeah.
Now when you deal mostly in hard money.
Yeah, we do hard money or more commonly used private financing.
Okay, what are the differences? What do those two things mean?
Really, they're synonymous.
Okay.
But hard money has been given a bad reputation over time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think of hard money you think of, you know, borrowing from the mafia and Guido's going to come and beat you in if you don't pay back.
Okay.
So, but it's essentially private financing.
Okay.
So it's where a private individual,
mm-hmm.
Joe, Bob, Sally,
yep.
It has extra money and doesn't want to earn the 1% or the 4% that they could in a CD.
Yep.
And they would prefer to earn 11 or 12% and have their investment backed up by a piece of real estate.
Yep.
So if the borrower stopped making their payments, worst case scenario, they can get the property back
yep.
to recoup their investment. So it's called private because it's coming from a private person.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And have those rates changed with the interest rate change? Have you guys changed, like, I don't know, your investors and the guys who work with you? Are those rates changing kind of like in line with the Fed interest rate as well?
So here's the comparison. So a year and a half, 2 years ago, the interest rates were at a record low
yep.
through a bank. You could get a loan at like 2.5%. A 15-year loan, you could get 1.5%. You know, it was like crazy low. Right now, the average is 6.8. A month and a half ago, it hit its peak at just over 8%.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. So it's gone down.
It's gone down for the last 2 months.
Yeah. Did the Fed actually reduce the rate?
They've reduced it just slightly, tiny okay. bit, but okay. the banks are willing to accept less of a profit margin to, you know, keep things rolling.
Okay. Okay.
But the Feds have decreased just a tiny bit.
Okay.
So they've gone from potentially 1 or 2% up to 8%.
Yes.
So that's like a 6.5% difference.
Yes. Which is like a quadruple, essentially.
Yeah. So with private financing, our average was around 10%.
Yep.
And now our average is around 11.5%. So okay, we've gone up 1.5%.
Right. But and even in percent, like in relative percentages, that's like a 15% increase. That would have been from 2% to 2.9 three, right? I mean, like in comparison, value, in comparison, right? In total points, cool, but that's pretty low, relatively speaking. So right now, in comparison, it's the best time to do the private financing because the Fed wants all this money, all this stuff, and like, so you can do a hard money and or private financing. Yeah, relatively
so,
easy.
So here's a comparison. So we work with a lot of different brokers who do private as well as conventional financing. Mm-hmm. And I had a conventional finance, conventional broker bring me a loan to get done with private financing because the program that they had for the borrower was a, like an FHA loan for a home, for a primary.
Is that first time homeowner? What is that?
This one wasn't a first time homeowner.
What does FHA mean? I thought it was a
Federal Housing Administration.
Okay.
One of the main companies, you know, Fannie, Freddie, FHA. So they had a, they got the borrower approved. It was going to cost the borrower 7.75% interest, and it was, and they were going to cost them, the loan fee was 2% to get
one
that.
Time. Boom. Yeah. Okay.
And then their average length of time to get a loan done through FHA is 30 to 60 days.
Yep.
This person needed to close quickly because of the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So they came to us and we were able to get it done in about a week and a half because private can move fast. We don't have all these regulations and underwriting that just keeps going on forever that you see with banks. So about a week and a half, and I think the interest rate was around 10 and about 2.5 points. So it was a
two and a half points for the origination.
Yeah, instead of two. So two. So it cost half a point more and then a little bit higher on the interest rate.
Okay.
Instead of 7.75, it was about 10.5.
That's actually pretty close. I mean, that's like 2.5 points. I mean, again, that's for some people that could be a lot. I mean, and technically it's still a decent amount of money, but so when if you're closing down, or not closing, hello. Yeah.
When it comes down to private financing, it's all about the it's a math problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so your monthly payment is going to be this, and this is what it's going to cost.
Mm-hmm.
Is this monthly payment and this cost worth what you're trying to accomplish? And more times than not, it is. You know, you find your dream home. Okay, so you can either not get that dream home because you're with an institution that's going to take 2 or 3 months to get you a loan.
Yep.
And why would the seller wait for that when he's got other people? Or you pay a little bit higher to get in the home.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, maybe it costs you an extra $10,000. Okay, so instead of buying your house for $400,000, it costs you $410,000.
Mm-hmm.
But now that you're in it, as soon as you own it, start working with your bank. And then in 2 months, you refinance into a lower interest rate loan.
Right. So what's the average length of time for these like private financing? Is it do you have any like prepayment kind of penalties or like I mean, of course, I'm sure it varies, but how does it generally work?
It varies whether it's a consumer use loan, so you're getting the loan to buy your own primary residence, or you're paying off personal debt, or taking getting your kid through college, compared with a business use loan, pulling funds out for to buy a rental property or to for capital for your business, you're paying off business debts. So there's different sets of regulations that have to be followed depending on the purpose.
Okay.
So a consumer purpose loan will not have any prepayment penalty.
Because that's not allowed, I guess.
Correct.
Is that the idea? Oh, interesting.
So a lot of times we do what's called a bridge loan.
Mm-hmm.
They're buying their primary residence and they're using private financing to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
It's particularly useful in a competitive market.
Yes. Hey, I'll close in 15 days.
Yeah. You want a 1 week close? Fine, we'll do it. Your 2 week close? Great. You can come in, let's say somebody through their favorite bank comes in at $400,000 with a 2 month close, bank financing.
Yep.
And then somebody comes in, private financing, 1 week close, $390,000. You'll have your money in 1 week.
Yeah. That's a feeling. Because also, a two month, what happens, and I know in these kind of markets, a lot of times they'll go into the 60-day one, it doesn't get funded, and they've lost 60 days of time. That's interest they're paying, property, more whatever, all the stuff that they're paying every month with no income, and then they have to go again and spend more time. So yes, the closing fast is huge in any market. I mean, in any type of scenario.
Yeah. So sellers prefer all cash or private financing for that reason, because we don't mess around.
Mm-hmm.
We say we're going to close the loan, then we close the loan. You know, there's no messing around. So that's on consumer.
Yep.
And then on so on consumer, so you buy the house like this.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Now you own it. 1 month later, you refinance with you know, Chase Bank or B of A or whoever, mm-hmm, your favorite credit union. And now you're into your 7% instead of your 11%.
And you only paid for, you only had it for 3 months or whatever.
Yeah. Or 1 month.
Oh, 1 month. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Interesting. And what about the investors? When you have the investors, people who invest with you and fund these, wouldn't they be like kind of, I guess, sad if like they have a 25-day loan? Like,
yeah, they don't prefer the real short-term loans.
Yeah.
So that's more a benefit to the borrower than it is to the lender.
Yep.
But some prefer short-term, mm-hmm, investments. You know, they don't want the loan to last longer than 6 months because they feel uncomfortable. You know, if you think about it, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, you know, the big,
yep,
institutions, they set the rules that every bank has to follow.
Yep.
Every bank has to be on their page.
Mm-hmm.
With private financing, every single person creates their own criteria.
Yep.
So I've got 600-700 lenders that lend through us. So we have 600 to 700 different opinions of what this loan should or shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
So if investor A doesn't like it, it's a high probability that investor B, C, Z, or D are going to be totally fine with it.
Mm. Interesting. Do you run through like a software or anything, or you just kind of know?
I don't have a software now.
Okay. Just check. I mean, I don't know. You know, you put in the number. Okay. Boom. Bing,
I've
bing,
done
bing.
It long enough that, yeah, that I know it, okay, would be good to have some kind of software, but, okay, but yeah.
And do you feel like right now, do you need more people lending? Like what's in more short? Cause right now there's not that much activity. So your lenders want to lend more and they can't, I guess. Is that, yeah, probably where it's at right now?
So it's for us in our business, in our mortgage business, it's a constant balancing act.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we'll get too many borrowers, and then we have lenders who are out of funds, and some only want very specialized loans, so it makes it more difficult.
Yep.
And then we're working heavy to get more lenders.
Mm-hmm.
And then vice versa. Sometimes we have too many lenders and not enough borrowers.
Right.
So there is no week to week it can change.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. And these lenders, are they, like, what did they get out of it? I mean, and maybe if you can't, yeah, talk about it, fine, but like,
well, lenders, you know what I mean? Just like you or me.
Yeah.
So what would you want out of an investment?
Yeah, well, I have high standards.
Yeah, you want good return.
Yeah, but I mean, like each deal you approve one person, and you might say, hey, here's a consumer loan. We don't know if they're going to pay in 30 days, because they could pay early without telling you, no? Like a consumer loan. You take a consumer loan, they say, I'm going to take it for a year, and they paid off in a month.
Yeah.
And that's just how the cookie crumbles. Yeah, no?
It's how the cookie crumbles. All we can do is just give them the average. Our consumer loans on average last 11 months.
Okay.
So average is 11.
Yep.
You might get the short end of the stick and get the 1 or 2 month guy.
Mm-hmm.
You might get the long end of the stick and get a 2 or 3 year loan, but average is going to be 11 months.
And how does it pan out? Like, okay, so let's say the person who's lending the money, they're like, okay, just give me 8% and I'm good. Then if the loan is 10%, you guys are just getting a 2%. Like, or how does that, like, is there a criteria, or you, yes, kind of, how do you decide?
So when a loan comes in, we decide on what the interest rate will most likely be approved at based on the property condition, the property location, and the borrower's
interest rate with the lender, or interest rate with a bank? Like, you're saying how much it would be at a bank? Or
you're
talking about the lender?
How much it would be with our lenders.
Okay.
Yeah, because we don't do bank financing. We only do private financing.
Yeah, okay.
If you want bank financing, I look at my phone and tell you right now it's an average of 6.8.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So if it's a nice property, a nice location, a decent loan to value, you know, they're not looking
because a down payment, right? Like if they have a good down payment.
Yeah, good down payment, or if it's a refinance, you know,
mm-hmm,
the property's worth $1 million and they only want a 500 loan, it's a 50 LTV loan, we're going to get a better interest rate.
Yes.
Than $1 million loan and they want 750,000,
mm-hmm,
you know. So then we determine what the most likely approval would come from our lenders.
Mm-hmm.
So your loan will come in most likely at 11%.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at roughly 11%, and these are the costs. If that works, give me these documents. Then I submit it to my lenders and they say approved or declined, or I'd like to also see a couple other things, you know?
And then, so you make the money on the origination then, and not, yeah, on the APR part.
So no APR with us.
That's not APR.
We make it real easy.
You mean with you as a broker, or you mean because the lenders have the APR? No?
Well,
or it's not exactly.
APR is the annual percentage rate,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And that is the percentage that's assigned to a loan that goes, that's a combination of the interest rate, the costs and fees to get the loan, the length of time on the loan. You know, it's like this giant complex mathematical thing. And most people can't even figure it out.
Okay.
And they have whole computer programs designed just to give the equation.
To know what the APR is, okay.
And
so it's more interest rate and then origination fee, two things.
Yeah.
Mostly?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you, so your company makes the origination,
yeah,
and then the lenders gets the full interest rate.
Yeah. So there are a few different models that mm-hmm. can be set up with private financing.
Yep.
The lender gets the full interest rate, mm-hmm. and now the broker has nothing to do with it anymore.
Yep.
Or the lender gets a lender rate, and the borrower gets a note rate that's maybe 1% or 2% higher
mm-hmm.
that covers the cost of the servicing
yep.
for the lender.
Okay, because you service the loan. No, now that's you could service it.
Correct.
And before you didn't used to service it.
Yeah. So
and now you do service
we
it.
We have a servicing company that services loans.
Yeah. So you get one point, have 1.5
yeah,
point,
so you
whatever,
get a couple points on the origination, and then you get a couple points, you know, a point or a point and a half on the servicing of the loan. On behalf of the lender.
Mm. Otherwise, who services it? Before, you would give it to another company to service it?
Yeah, either another company would service it or the lender would service it himself.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then if the lender doesn't get paid, they just go, good, I'm taking your house. Or what? Like, I don't know how often that happens.
Not quite as, as rough as that. You know, most people are good and
yeah.
they want yeah. other people to do well.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Every now and then there's a bad hat out there, but in the main, we're all in this because we all want to do well.
Yep.
So most lenders will work with the borrower in the event that something occurs in the borrower's life that prevents him from being able to make his payments.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right. We had one borrower literally the month after we closed, he lost his job.
Right.
Yeah, there's no way to predict
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But it happened. So the lender, you know, could defer a couple payments to give him a couple months to get back on
mm-hmm,
his feet
mm-hmm.
or reduce the interest rate in a, you know, a modification of the loan mm-hmm. to give him a lower monthly payment or, you know, whatever. There's a number of different things that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
But worst case scenario, you got a borrower who just doesn't make his payments
yep.
and he's unwilling to cooperate with you or communicate. So after a couple months, you start what's called a foreclosure process.
Mm-hmm.
Starts with the notice of NOD, notice of default.
Mm-hmm.
And that signifies to the borrower that you're starting the process to foreclose on him.
Yep.
Now, he has a reinstatement period of a few months.
Mm-hmm.
So he still has time to get it solved. It doesn't mean as soon as you issue that, the lender is now taking
So you have 2 months to be like, hey, you fix it, this, whatever. Because now you have the notice. You've shown, hey, I'm telling them it's happening unless
yeah,
they pay me.
Exactly.
Then they have whatever, a few months or whatever time yeah. period to pay them.
Yeah. Now, some people think, oh, the mean lenders and whatever when they do that, right? But this is what the lender's tool is to solve their investment going poorly.
Of course.
That's their tool,
of
right?
Course. Same as a bank. I mean, the bank would do the same thing.
Banks no? foreclose all the time.
Yeah.
Banks foreclose more than private financing
in
does.
Percentage-wise, you
yeah. Okay. So, but if you think about it, so I do private financing and then there's conventional financing.
Yep.
So conventional financing does about 99% of the market. Private financing right. does about 1% of the market.
Right.
But okay, so now you've issued your notice of default.
Mm-hmm.
It gives them 2 or 3 months to get their act together, get it current. And if it's current, then everything goes back to normal and they just keep making their monthly payment. If it doesn't, then they
have to back pay, I guess, right, or whatever. And then there might be some extra fees.
Yeah, they'll have to get current plus the cost of filing the notice of default.
Okay.
But let's say they don't make their payment, they don't get current, then the lender can complete the foreclosure, and it goes to what's called an auction or courthouse steps. That's where you can buy a foreclosure property at the courthouse.
Now, but wouldn't they just say, hey, I want the property instead? Could they do that too? Or
no.
It always goes to foreclosure.
It
goes to auction.
It goes to auction
first. Oh, interesting. So if you have the lien on the thing.
Mm-hmm. Now that doesn't mean you can't show up at the auction and bid on it yourself.
Okay. But you have to outbid somebody. It's not just yours on the amount
yeah.
of that's loan.
Unless
the person,
nobody else shows up.
Right. But the person that buys it has to pay down your your loan amount fully.
Yeah, so in this scenario, the guys who are showing up at auction, they've got like hundreds of thousands of dollars in cashier's checks in their pocket.
Yeah.
And they say, I'll buy it. You know, they bid on it. And then whoever is the winner, they pay for it.
Yep.
And then that pays off all the liens, and then they get title on the property.
Now, what if the lien is, I don't know, 300 grand, and the auction only goes for 200 grand?
Usually the starting bid will be the number that the lender sets so that he gets repaid.
Okay.
So the starting bid is 300,000.
Which is paying off the loan.
Right.
Interesting. So if, like, you can't be like a shark and be like, okay, I'm loaning this much, and then you default it, and then you just get it at half the value, because it's going to go to auction.
Yeah, it'll go to auction.
And how much, like, what do you think the value at, or like, how much do you think people get discounts on auctions versus housing price?
You can get quite a discount. You know, if a house is worth 500 and the foreclosure is at 300, you could potentially get it at 300.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and you could make basically right there after the real estate agent fees and everything, you can make maybe 150 grand in a day.
Yeah, you just need to be. It's like, if you want to go into that field as your business, and there are people that do it. I know a few of them. You just have to know what you're looking at,
right?
Because you don't get to see the property.
You don't get to go inside.
You don't get to go inside. There's
nothing,
no inspections.
Huh?
No.
Yeah. Instant.
Because Tom, the borrower, still owns his property. And why is Tom going to let you in when he's losing his house?
Oh. Oh, wow. So he owns it until it gets auctioned.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't want you in my house. I want you to not pay for it and whatever.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Then you'll have to incorporate, like, if it's owner occupied and Tom is still living in the house.
Now you have to kick him out.
Now
right?
you have or to something? Evict him. Yeah. Evicting. So you'll have to go through that process as well.
So the person who wins the auction has to evict.
If it's occupied.
If it's occupied.
Yeah.
Because the bank's not going to deal with it. Like, basically, hey, your property, your problem kind of deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So, fascinating.
So it can be a good way to buy houses, but you have to know what to look for.
And how many auctions are happening? Like, how frequent is this procedure?
I don't know. Okay. I don't stay on top of that. So
okay, but I mean, it's pretty like somewhat regular, I'm assuming. Or not.
Yeah, it's a process. So every county is going to have their own foreclosure process, and anything can delay it. So that's the other thing. You could show up, I'm going to bid on this house, and then they don't auction it that day, even though it's been published that it's going to be auctioned that
just
day.
Just because was city. Because or is that the city of California or city of whatever?
No, because the lender agreed to give the borrower one more week.
Oh.
Or you got a hurricane that's about to happen. There's a tornado watch outside, so they canceled it today. Pushed
and
it.
who runs this auction? The bank or the who? Like the city? The county?
Let's see. Who runs the auction? I'm not sure who runs it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure. The auctioneer runs it.
Auctioneer. Yeah, exactly. Some person. Interesting. Okay, cool. And so for private finance, so if someone, obviously, I mean, if someone wants to have, they want to buy a house and in California and from you, like, where would they go to find, hey, I want to check out private financing, like just your pitch, like why would someone want to work with you if they want to get a mortgage themselves?
Well, let's see. I've been doing it for what seems forever now. Let's see. Since 2008, my parents...
That's an interesting year to start.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a... yes, it was. It was a lifestyle change, and my parents owned a mortgage company, so I went and started working with them. First as a real estate agent, and then as a flipper, and then as a loan officer. So I've kind of got experience in all the different areas. And then let's see, after that, there was at one point when we were doing conventional and private.
Okay.
And then we stopped doing conventional because of the hassle.
It's just a lot of paperwork,
a lot of paperwork
garbage.
And a lot less, bang for your buck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's see, I've been doing it since 2008. I've done thousands and thousands and thousands of loans. I've seen every scenario that could possibly be out there. If you're overqualified for hard money, right, I still have a fiduciary duty to make sure that you get into the best loan for you. Mm-hmm. So if there are other loan options out there that are a better fit for you, I'll connect you up with somebody who can give you that option.
You mean like a conventional loan?
A conventional loan, yeah.
So if, let's say, they don't need to close quickly, and they have a whatever good credit history, good job, whatever. You're like, yo, you don't need to do this.
Yeah, you don't need to do this. Get a hold of Joe or Tom here. They're really good. Okay. You know, I've got a couple guys who can make conventional financing move much quicker. You know, so I've got options, you know, from all the different comm lines that I've created over the years.
So who's it primarily for financing? Is that they don't have like a job that's maybe a 1099 job, or like what? Who's the ideal person? Who needs this private financing?
We do all of it.
Okay,
right. So the borrower whose credit score is too low.
Yep,
we can do that. You got the guy who's got a credit score of, you know, or the couple who's got a 400 credit score.
Yep,
or you got the couple who's got an 800 credit score because she has 400 and he has 400. Right.
Yeah.
We do borrowers all the time who got wonderful credit.
Yeah.
But there's something wrong with the property, and the bank won't lend on it because it's missing flooring in the bathroom. So they won't lend on it.
Or the roof is whatever.
Or the roof is damaged. Or the appraiser noted a spot of mold on the corner of a tile. So now the bank won't touch it.
Oh wow.
So property condition, credit score. Self-employed borrowers come to us all the time, you know, because if you're self-employed, you don't want to pay taxes.
Right.
So you write off as much as you can. But now that you've written off as much as you can on paper, it looks like you're not making any money.
Right.
So it's a catch-22, you know. So we do self-employed people all the time. If you haven't been employed at your place of business for like 2 or 3 years, a lot of banks won't do it.
Right.
We don't have that problem. If you get your income through unconventional means, you know, you get let's say you're a waiter and
you get a stripper.
Lots of tips.
If you're a stripper, you get a lot.
If you're a stripper, you get lots of tips, right? Or let's see, waiters, landlord, or here's another industry that gets paid a lot in cash, landscapers.
Mm.
Landscapers get paid in cash all the time for whatever reason. And they don't run it all through their banks.
Right.
So they can't do like a bank statement program through
the bank. Right,
you know.
Okay. All those things. So any of those people, good.
Or
Pacific
Speed.
Direct Mortgage. Is that the website?
Yeah,
Pacific Direct Mortgage.
Pacific Direct Mortgage. My email is ken@pacificdirectmortgage.com.
Nice.
So easy.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Now, what do you think these interest rates are going to continue to go down now that it started to go down? It's going to like snowball down, or you don't know? I mean, obviously you're guessing like anyone else.
Yeah, I'm guessing like anybody else, but I have a lot of other economists and stuff that I follow who are also all guessing, but they're guessing on more information than I have to hand. And the current projection is it's going to remain pretty stable for at least another year, and then it'll possibly start to decline a little bit.
Okay, so it's not really particularly going to go down soon, is the kind of expectation.
Yeah, we're kind of going to level off where we are.
Okay. And
we have the presidential election coming up.
I know,
that could make it skyrocket, it could make it crash, depending on
who makes the decision? The Fed chair just says, like, this is what it's going to be, and that's it? Like,
I don't know.
Pretty much, yeah, whatever.
This is beyond my pay grade,
I
don't know.
It's like ridiculous. It's
political warfare, I don't know.
Yeah. And, okay, excellent. And then, we have a lot of e-commerce listeners, like I said, like, do that. Are there any private lenders that you would know of, or I know it's not your field, but like, that would loan for like, hey, is there an e-commerce company kind of thing? You're not in that field?
Not in that field, but I know there are private money lenders that will lend on businesses.
Okay.
So you could get a hold of a private money business.
You don't
lender.
Know of any?
I don't know of any.
Okay. So,
but I know they're out there.
Okay.
Google knows who they are.
Excellent. Check on Google. All right, guys. Ken, thanks for coming, talking about interest rates and stuff like that. Like, I mean, I learned some. It's a crazy world out there. Money runs things, and like, dude, I don't know why the Fed was made in the first place. It sounds like a really strange system and whatever. But hey, glad to have you on the show.
Yeah, history lesson for another day.
Yeah, exactly. All right, brother.
All right.